Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a portion, not the whole gospel, but a portion of the gospel, primarily dealing with the death of Jairus' daughter. And this morning our theme, the Lord of life restores life. This is the word given to us today. Please be seated. Dearest beloved of Christ Jesus, we think of death as an event at the end of our life. Seldom do we ever consider death as a process that is going on continuously. Remember, Paul writes for us in the 8th chapter of Romans, we are a sheep as to the slaughter. We face death all day long. Thus, this morning, St. Mark aligns the powers that are hostile to God, which includes death, to show their interrelationship. Prior to our text in Mark chapter 4, Jesus calms the storm. Right after that, Jesus is confronted by the Gerizim demonic. And then, from our text this morning, we hear of the woman with the issue of blood who reaches out and touches Jesus rather than Jesus touching her, and she's healed. And then finally, our text this morning, the raising of Jairus' daughter. All these things, the storm, the demonic, the issue of blood, death itself, are distortions of God's purpose. So in the midst of these hostile powers stands the unshakable lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear ones, this morning you hear of your Lord of life who restores life. This morning it's clear that the loss of life is described. Why is there death? There is death because the image of God has been destroyed. It happened there in the garden. Adam and Eve listened to the evil one, and in listening to the temptation of Satan, they then didn't act. They acted instead of rebuking. And in acting on the temptation, they lost the image of God. And since we are children of Adam, we have lost the image of God. We too are sinners. In the Gerizim demonic, the very ego of man is actually warped. It is self-bent on self-destruction. The divine likeness of creation is destroyed as alien powers are now at work. God gives us, the sons of Adam, over to death. Even those raised in godly environments, such as Jairus' daughter, such as your loved ones who rest across Shum Road this very moment, and even yourselves, as you have heard, we are facing death all day long. Where does the power of this death come? It comes from this power of sin. Sin's power is unmistakable and obvious to each and every one of you. Sin's power is seen in every form of rebelliousness, in every disease, in every perverse act of sinful human beings. And that includes you and me. Oh, it's true, you may think to yourself now, but I have never murdered anyone. But what did Jesus say? When you say that you hate your neighbor in your heart, you have committed murder. When you look lustfully at a man or a woman, you have committed adultery. When you desire to have that which is your neighbor's, even though you don't act on it, when you even think of it in your heart, you have broken the ninth and tenth commandment. And when we say things about our neighbor, either verbally or even in our mind, and we know it's not the truth, we have broken the eighth commandment. When we place ourselves above God by saying that we are not a sinner, when God says that we are a sinner, we make ourselves God, and we say that God's word is not true. That's sin. That is open and stark rebellion. You are guilty of it, and I am guilty of it. And the verdict of sin is death. You see, each and every sin, each and every one of your sins and each and every one of my sins is a perversion of God's perfect order. Therefore, and each of you know this, the wages of sin is death. Therefore, what does man do? We hear of it in our text this morning. It's right there in your bulletin insert. When Jesus came to the home of Jairus, there were the professional mourners. They were causing a ruckus, they were making noise, and they were weeping. And that's what man does. Man must do all that he can to cover up the wrong by using noisemakers and professional mourners. And then when man is told the truth, man will laugh. Man will laugh at the Lord of life. Since the power of sin rules in the unconverted man, this is very personalized for us in the first chapter of James. James writes for us, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." This is the lost life that it described. It seemed like Jairus' daughter, so young, was lost forever. But what the professional mourners had forgotten, and what the unconverted man forgets today, is that Jesus isn't the Lord of death. Rather, he is the Lord of life. And when the Lord of life is present, he will always restore life. The Lord of life always will make alive. He gives a life of faith that seeks wholeness. As in Jairus, the life of faith is manifested in his coming to Jesus and in praying for wholeness to be restored to his gravely ill daughter. All he sought was that Jesus would just reach out his hand and touch her. Why is this important for us? Why is this story of Jairus important? Jairus is a ruler of the synagogue. Jairus is the one who is responsible for what happens in the synagogue. And he has seen Jesus, and he has heard Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is working on his heart. And in faith, he comes to this man from Nazareth. Everyone else thought that this man, though a holy man, they thought that he wasn't the Messiah. But the Holy Spirit was working in the life of Jairus. And so Jairus comes to the Master. And he asked him just to come and touch his gravely ill little girl. And Jairus knew that she would be made whole. Where then is a life of faith, which is then acknowledged of human need and confession of unworthiness in the bothering of the teacher, as the other people said? There were those who were present who said, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. You don't have to worry about this Jesus. Jairus' daughter is dead. She's gone. And Jesus, there's nothing you can do." You see, in the midst of the tumult of the noisemakers and the professional weepers, faith latches on, though. Faith latches on to the word of life. Faith reasons that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Where condemnation convicts God, where condemnation convicts the sinful man, God, in His righteousness, acquits the sinful man. Where death reigns, life superabounds. This is what people forget about today. Yes, many of you have suffered tragedies in your life. The death of a very young one. The sudden death of a teenager. And we wonder, where, God, are you? Why did you allow this to happen? But we must always remember that God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He has a plan, but we must also remember that the plan has been fulfilled. Jesus came, born of a virgin, and He was laid in a manger, in the wooden manger, and soon He would be nailed to a wooden cross, and He bore the sins, and in His death, the death of your loved one, and the death of each and every one of you, and ultimately my death, has been defeated. Death has defeated death, for death can have no hold on Jesus, and those who live in Jesus, death has no hold on you either. Faith life attains to the restoration that Christ came to bring. And not only did Jesus bring life, He actually gives to you life. There at the font, you were given life and faith. Death has no hold on you, dear ones. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of your death, and do not be afraid of the death of your loved ones. They, as Jesus tells us, as He said about Jairus' little girl, she is only sleeping. He is only asleep. And soon the Lord of life will reach out His hand, and they will live. Their body will be resurrected, and their soul will be rejoined back to that body. The immortal will take on immortality, and the corrupt will take on incorruption. And your loved one, and you and me, will live with the Lord of life forever and ever. That's His promise. And Jesus will always keep His promises. Thus, Jesus comes to the house of Jairus, and He speaks tenderly to her, "Talitha kumi, little one, arise." Now real life begins. You see, dear ones, there at the font you were put to death, but then real life begins. The real life has begun in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that also pertains to those who are asleep across Shum Road. They are alive even though physically they are no longer with us. They are with their Lord in paradise. That is His promise. And we know that His promises are always true. So therefore, do not be deceived by all those who recite to you the litany of Bible verses in an attempt to portray Jesus as one who will give you your heart's desire. That's not what Scripture tells us. Do not listen to those who tell you that if you ever get sick, it's because you have the lack of faith. That you are suffering in this life because you have no faith. That's a lie. Actually, Jesus tells us that we will suffer in this life. And that suffering comes from God to keep us focused on the life that has been given to us. And to keep us focused on body and on blood. And on baptism, and on the Word. Remember, you have been healed. By the stripes, by His stripes, we have been healed. We have been healed from our terminal disease. You have been healed from your sin. The faith of a father of a dead little girl is the faith of the Son of God that saves. It is trust in the promise that your sins have been washed away, that your iniquity has been removed from you as far as the east is from the west. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's the text that we proclaim at each and every funeral, because it's the truth. Death has been defeated, and your dear loved one lives. So in closing, my dear friends, let us consider once more the words of Jeremiah from our Old Testament lesson this morning. Jeremiah writes and says to us, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. But though He causes grief, He will have compassion according to the abundance of His steadfast love. For He does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men." Be not afraid, my dear brothers and sisters. Have no fear, for Jesus lives. Believe in your Lord of life. Your faith has made you well, and He has restored your life. Therefore, go in peace, knowing that all of your sins, each and every one of your sins, are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.